Why settle for 7% returns from your 401k? Whether you're an experienced investor or new to the game, our friends at The Motley Fool want to help you find great stocks. That's why they've created a report on a group of five stock picks for the next generation of investors. And it's free for all WSJ and Barron's Group listeners. Visit fool.com/WSJ.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, January 7th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. The Trump administration has taken a hard line against China, with both sides ramping up restrictions on each other. And often, the tech industry has gotten caught in the middle. But with the Biden administration set to take office, the U.S.-China relationship could change. Our senior editor, Bob Davis, will help us break down Biden's strategy after these headlines. Following yesterday's riots at the U.S. Capitol, social media companies say they're working to limit the spread of commentary that they say could further inflame violence. Both Twitter and Facebook temporarily locked President Trump's accounts and removed a video in which Trump sympathized with the rioters. The companies say it violated their rules against inciting violence. It's the industry's strongest actions to date against the president. Twitter and Facebook, along with other social media companies, have grappled with how to moderate posts about the November elections. False statements from Trump and some of his supporters have unleashed weeks of viral claims about election fraud and posts that encouraged violence. There's been no evidence of widespread voter fraud. In a rule released by the Labor Department yesterday, the Trump administration made it easier for businesses to classify gig workers as independent contractors. That means those workers would not be protected by things like federal minimum wage and overtime laws. The news is being seen as a victory for gig companies like DoorDash and Uber. Here's our reporter Eric Morath with more.
The Labor Department officials were very plain that this was essentially a response to a law California lawmakers passed in 2019, which sought to really expand the definition of employee and make it so, you know, gig workers like Uber drivers and DoorDash delivery drivers had to be counted as employees and you needed to receive sort of state protections. That law has been challenged by voters, so it's a little bit in flux right now. But the Labor Department said on the federal level, you know, those workers would not be counted as employees and would remain in an independent contractor status.
Officials in the United Kingdom say they're preparing an antitrust investigation into NVIDIA's $40 billion deal to acquire the chip designer Arm Holdings. The move presents one of what is likely to be several regulatory hurdles for the merger. Executives at both NVIDIA and Arm have said they expected the approval process to take some time. And in yet another reversal, the New York Stock Exchange says it will be delisting China's three largest telecom companies after it received, quote, new specific guidance from the Treasury Department. The NYSE has now reversed itself on this decision twice in about a week, illustrating confusion over whether the telecoms were covered by an executive order from President Trump. The order seeks to ban trading in securities of companies that the administration says have links to the Chinese military. By the way, as we know, the relationship between the U.S. and China is a rocky one. We'll talk more about it and whether that could change during the Biden administration after the break.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/WSJ.
We report exclusively that the U.S. is considering blacklisting Alibaba and Tencent, two of the most powerful tech companies, most powerful companies in China. It's not yet clear which way officials will go on this. If they do shut the companies out, it would be an escalation in what's been a fraught relationship between the U.S. and China, particularly during the Trump administration. But as the Biden administration prepares to take office, it's possible that that relationship could change. Here to help us look ahead is our senior editor, Bob Davis, who covers the U.S.-China relationship for us. Hey, Bob, thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome. Great to be here.
So can you just start by characterizing the relationship between the U.S. and China under President Trump?
Well, I would say it started off as bad and it's gotten worse. I mean, the Trump administration pushed on the trade and economic issues, and they had a two-year trade war, which wound up with an agreement. But that happened almost at the very same time that COVID started sweeping along across the country. And at that point, basically the president gave green light to his national security and human rights people. And that has been kind of one initiative after another on the national security front.
And technology has played a pretty big role in there, too, right?
No, certainly. When I say there was a trade war, the trade war quickly morphed into a technology battle. I mean, one of the most important issues was certainly technology. The U.S. felt that the Chinese government and Chinese companies were forcing American companies into handing over valuable technology, and also that China was using unfair means to advance. And so the U.S. first started off with Huawei, trying to block Huawei's growth internationally, because Huawei certainly is going to be the national champion in China. And then it's moved to other areas, including apps and chips and all sorts of things. And there's a blacklist now with hundreds of Chinese companies on it.
And why is it that tech is really so central to this?
I mean, technology is seen as the motor of the economy going into, you know, deeper into the 21st century. And whoever is number one in technology and science has a head start on the industries that are going to grow out of that technology. And so it is a defining issue in the competition for primacy in the 21st century.
Bob, it sounds like control of the infrastructure is a really key issue on that point. And the U.S. and China have really diverging views on what kind of values that infrastructure should promote.
Sure. I mean, you know, the U.S. has promoted from the very beginning, from the beginning of the internet, you know, an open system where data moves freely across borders and, you know, different players are, you know, allowed to say and do whatever they want. China has a very different view of what an interconnected society should be. I mean, interconnected society in the Chinese view is one that's run by the central authorities, right? And that keeps out the kinds of ideas and information that the government and that the Communist Party doesn't want ordinary Chinese citizens to know.
So looking to the future, President-elect Joe Biden is set to become President Biden in just a couple weeks. What do we know about his strategy when it comes to China, and particularly around this issue of tech?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest difference between Biden and Trump on China is that Biden is looking to create a variety of different alliances with democracies, with industrial democracies, to try to take on China. I mean, in Biden's view, the Trump unilateral effort on China on trade and technology failed, that the U.S. got, you know, modest changes in China in trade and really didn't make much of a headway in technology at all. I mean, it's true that in a number of countries, Huawei has now been frustrated. And it's also true that suppliers to Huawei have a much more difficult time supplying the company. But still, there's a question of, well, you know, what else? I mean, what's the alternative to Huawei? And I think what the Biden team is will try to do is put together, as I say, alliances of leading countries in technology to come up with alternatives. So in the 5G area, to come up with a way to avoid using Huawei equipment, not just ban Huawei, but you know, instead of using Huawei, use, you know, System X that they're developing or trying to develop. Same with artificial intelligence, you know, electric vehicles and all sorts of technology issues.
And as we know, you know, this back and forth has consisted of a tit for tat. You know, the U.S. has imposed restrictions and so has China. So where does China stand now? And what do we know about their approach as we move into this new administration?
Well, largely in reaction to what the U.S. is doing, plus their own desires. I mean, China's trying to become more self-sufficient. I mean, just put yourself in their position. The U.S. has shown itself to be an unreliable supplier. Certainly, they want to see what this new administration, you know, is up to and how they can do business with this new administration. But the sort of broad outlines, I don't think, are going to change very much. I think that they will push increasingly to become self-sufficient, which again means that less room for foreign companies, except for the foreign companies that they absolutely need. To think that they will go back, you know, to a notion that the global supply chain is something they can depend on, I think is fantasy. And I think the same for the U.S. as well, that the U.S. will look at the COVID crisis, their over-reliance on China, and this will be a big push for the U.S. government to push American companies to produce more, at least outside of China, if not in the U.S.
And just to zoom out here a little more, why is this relationship so important for the tech industry more broadly? What hangs in the balance?
I mean, the U.S.-China fight and the worsening relations between the two countries is enormously important for the technology industry. First of all, China is a gigantic market. If they lose China as a market, they will lose enormous amounts of revenue. If they lose that revenue, that means less money for research. That means falling behind European and Japanese companies. And also, it's the whole question of how do you do business? You know, the tech industry has become an industry that depends on a global supply chain. Well, that global supply chain now is up in the air. So they have to be thinking, they should be thinking about their dependence on China or on any other single country. I mean, Apple, for instance, is just unbelievably dependent on production out of China. That is now obviously, you know, a real potential weakness. And other companies looked at China as a, you know, kind of simple way to reduce their costs of manufacturing in the U.S. And now, you know, that's certainly up in the air. I mean, this is a different world.
All right. That's our senior editor, Bob Davis. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.